2020 is, among a lot of other things, the 150th anniversary of the founding of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, the most famous and the largest encyclopedic art museum in the country. During a visit to Paris in 1866, just a year after the American Civil War had ended, a man named John Jay, grandson and namesake of the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, announced to the group of Americans with whom he was traveling that the United States should have a world-class art museum. He thought that people like himself, erudite, cultured, well-connected, and familiar with Europe, should be the ones to organize it and determine its parameters. On April 13, 1870, the Metropolitan Museum of Art was formally incorporated. For a while, it was housed in a mansion on 14th Street. Its permanent building, there on the edge of Central Park, on acres of land the New York State Legislature set aside for it, was begun just a few years later. That original building has now been all but absorbed by additions. The famous entry that today fronts on Fifth Avenue opened in the 1920s. For decades, it was basically too conservative for its own good, declining to collect any modernism, for instance, letting the Museum of Modern Art take that role, and consigning itself to play a haphazard game of catch-up. It didn't bring photography into its collection until the 1930s. It was slow to collect art from Africa and Asia. But such skepticism is part of its story. It's a part of the way in which almost all of us interact with art, in fact. The Met originally planned a wonderful celebration to last all year, but 2020 changed those plans. A celebratory show called Making the Met 1870 to 2020 was scheduled to open in March, but didn't open until the end of August. I haven't been to see the show, of course, but the Met has posted all the individual descriptive labels of the pieces online, and you can, with patience, work your way through and see each of the works of art. Granted, you can't see them as they're displayed in the context of the other pieces with which they're surrounded now, but you can at least review the choices and experience the richness and mind-boggling variety of the works themselves. My favorite art critic recently said that the Met is our Home Depot of the soul. It has just about whatever you want, and it has a lot of it. What seems to emerge from this show is not so much a celebration of the museum itself, that is, of this museum, as impressive as it is. What takes shape before your eyes is a catalog of the range of human creativity, and an institution that spends a century and a half trying to make that catalog available to the public is something worth celebrating, no matter where you live.